You're listening to the Brilliant Breakthroughs Podcast with your host, Maggie Magan.
Hi, small business owners. Welcome to the Brilliant Breakthrough Podcast, where we focus on creating brilliant breakthroughs for the small business owner. FYI, this is also the name of the number one Amazon best-selling business book series for small businesses. It's titled Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owner, and the subtitle is Fresh Perspectives on Profitability, People, Productivity, and Finding Peace in Your Business. You can get a digital copy or paperback at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all sorts of other places. And today, the book that we're referencing in the book series is Volume 2 with the emerald green cover. I'm so excited because today we have one of the authors from the 2018 book with that emerald green color, and he is a number one best-selling business author twice. But I guess before I introduce him, I should probably introduce myself. I am your host. My name is Maggie Magan, and I'm a number one best-selling author and creator of that number one best-selling book series that we're talking about, Brilliant Breakthroughs. I'm also a master business coach and trainer where I help small businesses do their transformation and move into owning their marketplace. And you can find me at Brilliant Breakthroughs, Inc. Now let's talk about our guest, Mike Raber. Bring it in. Woo! Welcome, Mike.
Hey, Maggie. How are you? Good to be talking with you again.
I'm ready for this because I know you're about to do something really cool with us. And Mike is really on top of the game for small business owners. He wrote in both books. The one we're referencing today is the 2018 book, and it's the seventh chapter, and it's titled Discovering Your Business's True North. So, Mike, you ready to share?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Mike and I were having a conversation about an entrepreneur's journey, and he said that he thinks that there's five things that every entrepreneur needs to know. So we're going to move through those really quickly because he's addressed most of them in his earlier episodes, numbers 60, 66, 76, 83, and 89. So here's the first question. Mike, you talked about how important it is for us to listen to the question behind the question. What does that mean? And can you give us an example?
Yes, most definitely. And I have discussed on a few of our podcasts, and I often teach in presentations the importance of showing up to a meeting or sales presentation and fully listening to the person or persons on the other side of the table. Fully be in the present, keeping outside thoughts or the potential agenda away from the initial conversation. It's amazing how many times you sit down and you talk to somebody, and they're so ready to talk at you, to tell you what, again, their agenda may be, that they forget to really connect with the person in front of them and to slow down. Oftentimes when sitting down talking to somebody, I like to be in the present, ask questions, get to know the person. And once I feel like I've asked enough questions, I have an understanding of who that person is, then I feel like I am able to now render perhaps a thought or a piece of advice or ask more questions and lead the person in a kind of a deeper journey. As an example, I remember years back, I was talking to a client and she came to me because her business kept hitting a glass ceiling. And she wanted to find out how to break through the glass ceiling. So we're talking about her business, and it was true, given her skill sets and the type of business she had, she should have been making twice, if not three times as much money as she was. But there was still something that wasn't quite there. So I asked her a few more questions. I came to the conclusion that her business was actually all right. It wasn't her business that was the challenge. And had I stopped there and attempted to render advice A, I wouldn't have been any helper, and B, I would have sold the process way short. So I moved the conversation over to personal side and asked her more personal questions, but kind of get a feel for her inner beliefs, her values, etc. And I came to the conclusion that when she was very young, she was taught and had this inner belief that it was a sin to make more money than she needed to live off of. And she already made a very good living. So she couldn't justify making more money, even though she clearly had the ability to do so, hence her glass ceiling. So I told her to take out her checkbook and write a $10,000 check and then think of a charitable organization that she would like to help. And after giving me a couple of suggestions, I told her to pick one and write it down on the check and then date the check for 2 months or 3 months out, which she did. And now she had a goal, she had a timeline, and it was no longer about her. And right. Then said, okay, now keep the check in mind, but put the checkbook, take the check out, put it into an envelope and let it sit there. But know that in 3 months you have to deliver that check. Now go to work. End of the story, she delivered the check and it didn't bounce. Yay, her business increased by at least, we know, $10,000. And it continued to increase from that point forward because she started to assign things outside of herself to pay money towards to do with her business and turn her business into a tool and not just a business, which I'll get to a little bit more in detail on later into the podcast. So listen to the person, ask questions, find out the question behind the question, and then at that point, attempt to answer it.
Okay, so there it is. Listen, put things into context. Don't assume you know everything because you surely do not. Okay, number two, you talked about this a lot in our episodes over time. It's about know your why. Why is that so important for us to know our own why?
Because we go into business or we have a job or we may have a profession that we do, and oftentimes we go out and the why might be to make more money, to provide for our family, to serve our clients, to do the daily things that one goes into business to do, but we forget about really what is our purpose. And back to my chapter, are you truly in search of finding your true north? Are you using the business as a tool to allow you to be your true authentic self and to serve not only the community, but at the same time, take good care of yourself and your family?
Now that makes a lot of sense. Okay, and there's a really hot book out there that addresses this. So Mike, tell us what it is. And
start with why.
Simon
Sinek.
Yes. Okay, great. Let's move on to number three. This is a really cool one, and you haven't spoke about it yet. So I'm going to say, what is it that we need to discover about our golden goose, and what the heck is our golden goose?
Well, most of us, I'm sure, have heard the kid tale of the golden goose, and we all have our own, one could almost say pre-designed golden goose, our own, again, going back to our purpose, our passion, our gift, for lack of a better term, and that is the golden goose. And the cool, and going using a business as that golden goose. The cool thing about a business is that in many ways, it's like a golden goose. If you feed it and take care of it, a business can open many doors and allow you to do things in life that a job generally won't be able to offer, such as it can open the door to meet with people who you otherwise would be have way off your radar. As an example, years ago, I had a limousine company. Because of that, I got to spend 10 years hanging out with high-level CEOs, CFOs of companies, people that I would never get asked into the boardroom with or have the opportunity to talk to, yet they were 3 feet behind me in the back seat. I could ask them questions. I could learn. I had exposure to people. Or because I was in business, I would attend seminars. And I was able to take our kids to it. And my daughter at a young age was able to get to know Jim Rohn, Zig Ziglar, other greats out there. Because of my business, it opened up the door for her to have that exposure at such a young age. Without a business, it never would have happened.
Right.
Business is also an amazing confidence builder. Your business can become a platform or resource to serve your community or areas that's important to you. Kind of like the gal who started to use her business to sponsor and help charitable organizations. It can offer great tax benefits that you're not going to get with a job.
All right.
It can become a great teaching platform again for your children. I had three kids, and rather than giving them allowances, they worked for me from the time they were five on. If they wanted money for something, I would tell them to figure out what, I'm talking, I would tell a 5 or 6 year old and it would come back with answers. I would say, okay, I want you to research and let me know what that, whatever they want to do is worth, and I'll pay you the going price for it. I just, some wanted to earn money, so I told him to figure out what he would earn washing a car, so I would add a limousine. So he wanted $15 to wash the limousine. Now keep in mind, he's five. And I said, well, $15 is a little high. I pay our detailer 12, and he's experienced. How about seven? Okay. So I paid him $7 to wash the car, knowing that I was going to have to wash the car when he went to bed.
Right, right.
But he earned $7 and walked away with pride from doing so. And because of that, at such a young age, they learn how to build businesses. They learn how to go out and ask for things that they want. And the business then became the tool to teach those lessons to them that otherwise, the conversation wouldn't have been able to happen. It can also give you the flexibility to spend your time doing things that's most important to you. Nice thing about a business is if you want to go shopping in the afternoon, you can. If you want to take a trip somewhere, make it a business expense. There's a lot of things that in a job we're not able to do, but a business will allow us the ability to do so. And most importantly, it can allow you to make a great income or design a powerful financial foundation which will allow you to live an amazing life. In essence, create a cash pipeline. Think about buying a car. A person wants to buy a car, they go to the bank, they get a loan, they borrow the money, buy the car. Now the car becomes a liability. The car becomes stress in their lives. Versus if you have a business and the car costs, let's say, $300 a month for the car payment, maybe you still get the loan, but figure out how can you use your business to earn an additional $300 a month doing something you're not doing right now, in essence, creating that cash pipeline, point that towards the car, and now your business pays for the car for you versus you having to come up with it yourself.
Find ta-da! Ta-da!
Yeah. In my opinion, everyone should have some kind of business, even if it's just a side hustle or part-time business. Now, in case you find yourself saying, yeah, but where do I even start? Or it's easy for you to say that, you probably had a great mentor. Let me introduce an incredible mentor for you if you haven't yet discovered it.
Okay. Who is the mentor?
The mentor is, it could be a person you know, it could be YouTube, it could be, in fact, one of the podcasts that we did, I go through a whole series of ways of accessing information. A lot of the greatest mentors I had, I never met, yet they taught me a lot of information, and I was able to learn from them when I was driving down the street or when I was waiting for a doctor. But right now, a really cool mentor, a mentor that I can almost guaranteedly say will bring thousands of dollars into your business if you only use it, just because I know the material that I contributed towards this mentor has allowed me to do that. And I know there's 15 and soon to be more other incredible professionals that also have hours and hours of amazing information for you to listen to. And that is, if you haven't already figured out where I'm going yet, brilliantbizbook.com. All three capitals, capital B, brilliant, capital biz, B-I-Z, capital book. Go there.
Oh, do you mean the app instead of .com?
Oh, yes, the app. Download the app. Yeah, thank you for that catch. Okay. Yes.
Brilliant biz book.
Book.
Okay. All one word, capital B's.
Yes.
At your app store. Okay.
App store, Android or Apple App Store.
Okay. That sounds good.
And then last but not least, you probably have heard someone say, but I heard it takes money to make money. No, not necessarily. It takes a good idea and desire to share that idea with the world, or a great product that needs, take something that's already out there and make it 10% better. Bring it to the world and that will become your seed capital to start your business. It doesn't take a lot of money. And you don't have to be great to start, but as a great Zig Ziglar would say, you don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start to be great.
So, amen. Okay, so thanks for explaining the golden goose and how everybody can have their own goose. But the key is that we need to take care of it. And if we do that well, it will take care of us in return, right? Yep.
Very true.
All sorts of cool ways. Okay, now you said something about community. Well, you were talking about the goose. And I know that you, as well as I do, but you believe in the power of the community. So what would you like to say about the power of community, Mike?
Okay, when building a business, in essence, your clientele, your customers become part of your community, or should become part of your community, or some might say your tribe. Lead with a servant's heart. Go out there and serve your clients in such a way that they become your, not only raving ambassadors for your business, raving fans, but they feel like they're part of a community. Great example, a real estate couple that I know in Washington, once a quarter they have a party, a big picnic for the clients, and the clients come together as a community. And one day she was sharing with me that this lady had this house and she wanted to put it on the market, was going to interview three agents. So she calls her up, the lady calls up my friend and says, I want to put my house on the market. I'm interviewing two other agents. I was wondering if you'd like to come by and take a look at it. And my friend says, well, that's a great thought. However, I'm putting together this party on Friday and I don't really have the time right now, the bandwidth to come look at the house. Why don't you come to the party and we'll talk there? The lady then says, yeah, but don't you need to see my house? She says, not if we're not going to work together. I'm not sure if we're working together yet. Come to the party. So long story short, the lady comes to the party, and after 20 minutes of hanging out with her clients and her friends, she walks up to my friend, the agent, and she goes, how do I get you to list my house? Total different reaction than the conversation on the phone a few days prior, because she got to meet her community. She wanted to become part of that community.
Right.
Right. Or another great example was back in 2007 when we had the real estate depression that we had. A friend of mine in California had a mortgage company and he had a motorcycle accident, ended up on his back for 7 months. In a time when it would take most companies out of business, and certainly as a mortgage rep would put him out of business for sure. However, because he had built such a strong community with his clients, while he was on his back, he used his phone to contact his clients, to follow up with people, to do other things he did anyway, because how he does business. 7 months later, he walked out of the hospital, his business had doubled in size.
Oh, wow. His
clients wanted to see him survive. His mortgage reps wanted to keep their jobs. The community held together, and he was the leader going into it, he was a leader going out of it and through it. But while he wasn't able to perform, his community acted in his behalf. And like I said, at the end of the 7 months, he walked away very surprised and wealthier than he was going into it.
Wow. Okay. So there's power in community, period.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in community, when we're in relationship, one of the things to remember is what you call the servant's heart. Lead with the servant's heart. Do you want to talk about that for a moment?
Yes. I mean, sit down again with the clients and figure out what is it that you do. Don't be, I kind of rephrase it as in the fifth rule, is become a unicorn, not a duck.
Oh, you're jumping right into number five?
Yes, okay, because it's the easiest way to answer your question.
Okay, that's cool. Number five, become a unicorn, not a duck. Bring it on, Mike.
And more, and kind of where I'm going with that is, it's okay to be non-traditional in a traditional or a conventional type business community. And what I mean by that is, again, leading with the servant's heart. In business, so many people are transactional based. They're trying to serve the next client so they can get that one more sale. And then they go on to the next sale, and they go on to the next sale, and they forget about the people that they just got done serving. I was actually at a meeting today, and a person was sharing with how she was frustrated because she doesn't know how to go into open up new markets. So I asked her how many people she served in the last year, and she gave me an answer. And I said, how many of them know you by name? smaller answer, but still a pretty good answer, is that that's when you need to go to work. Until those people are sending you referrals, until you become a servant to those people and you're serving them and the people they care about in such a way they feel like you, they are your only client, you're not yet ready to go to find new clients. So when I say servant's heart, I refer to it as serving our clients in such a way, again, that they feel like they are our only clients. Again, a great example is Krispy Kreme's opened in Seattle years back, and there was a 2-3 hour wait to get donuts. Why anybody was standing in line for 3 hours to buy donuts, I still don't understand, but they did. However, when you're dropping somebody off, coming back from the airport at 3 a.m., amazingly, there's no line even at Krispy Kreme's. So I'd pull in the Krispy Kremes, I'd buy 6 dozen donuts, and the next morning I would go by and visit my elderly clients or the CEOs, clients that I knew were real busy and didn't have time to stand in line for 3 hours, and give them the donuts and give them a note. One such case, I stopped by an elderly client of mine, and she was gone, but her daughter was home. So I left the donuts with her with the handwritten note, that said, "Hey Jeanine, I just want to let you know that I really value you and I hope you have a fantastic day. Here's these donuts. You probably heard about them. Enjoy them. Make it a great day. It's a good life, Mike Raver." And I left. Later in the day, she calls me up. She's all choked up. "Oh, Mike, thank you so much for coming by and bringing me the donuts." And I'm thinking to myself, "They're donuts. They're not that good. Why are you choking up?" Then she says, "Today was my birthday. The only two people who validated it was my daughter and you." That's what I mean by leading with the servant's heart. Did I know it was her birthday? No. But I had the heart to serve. And the donuts was the tool that I was able to serve with. And because of that, I got to bless her day.
That's absolutely beautiful. And too often we forget how a simple, kind act can mean the world to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that, because I know that is one of the ways that you truly move through life, and myself as well. And it is important. It creates, it's a good way to be for humanity. But yeah. In business, it creates deep, deep relationship because it's thoughtfulness.
Yeah, and it's not that hard to be a unicorn, because so many people do business the traditional kind of mediocre, boring, not boring, but kind of complacent way, that when you stand out, when your clients, I mean, think about everyone out there, a business that you work with, that you do business with, that is, you know, they care about you. They, you know, they stand out. They go just a little bit more than what you'd expect. And the warm feeling that you get in your heart about that business, and because of that, wanting to do business with them is only a natural desire. So the cool thing about a business, in case I haven't said it yet, everyone should open a business of some sort, because the business becomes not only the golden goose, which will allow you to live an incredible life if you work it. The golden goose is only golden goose if you take care of it.
Right.
Business. But at the same time, it gives you resources, it gives you tools that allow you to serve your clients and change their lives. It gives you the ability to put money in or do something to your community to make your community a better, stronger community to live in. There's so many things that a good business can do to help those around them. And when you do it, the fun part, the rewarding part, besides the monetary and all the other nice things, is you become that unicorn. You stand out versus all the ducks out there.
Yes. And I want to drive that point home, because Mike just did a really nice wrap up of everything he shared. Last night I was at an event about marketing, and there towards the end of the event, the group went into breakout session. And the group that I was in, there were business owners that were much earlier in their evolution than myself. And they were talking about how they're having a really hard time getting business. And the conversation was about social media, and all they were doing was blasting, we're here, we're here, we're here. And so I had suggested, well, business is all about people, and people are all about relationship. Have you thought about going beyond the transaction and begin building the relationship? And they looked at me like I just came from another planet and brought them gold. And I was like, wow, and I love sharing wisdom like that with people who are still earlier on their journey, because when we see their reactions, we remember how powerful it is. After a while, this just becomes what we do and how we move to be successful business owners. But somewhere along the line, we picked up on that, or somebody gave us that tip. And I was so thrilled that I could share that with three newer small business owners, because I know it's going to change what they're doing, because they were talking about how they're marketing and it was all transactional and nothing relationship. And you are a great example of that. So please, everybody, go back and listen to Mike's podcast, and he has even more because he's been with us from the first book. So have fun, because he shares it like it is. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. Can I throw one more thing out there real quick?
Okay.
I just would like to say that in case if it popped in your mind, but I love my job, good, keep doing it. When I say everyone should have a business, I don't mean you shouldn't do your job. Keep doing your job. Jobs are important. We need people to work inside our own businesses. Just remember that a business can also be a great tool to help you outside of your job, to bring things into your life you may not otherwise have.
Absolutely. And with that, I say, Mike, we're going to have to clip the interview part of this and move to our last phase, okay?
Yes.
So listeners, we're so thrilled that you got to hear an expert talk about relationship building and a whole bunch of other things as to what you need to know to really rock your business. And if you want to learn more and engage with number one bestselling business author, Mike Raber, start by reading chapter 7 in the 2018 book, that Emerald Green book we were talking about, Discovering Your Business's True North. He delivers it all day long. And then I would love for you to go ahead and gift your business's performance an opportunity to accept the invitation that Mike is offering you at the bottom of his author page. And that's at the end of his chapter. It's relevant and it's free, and you're going to go, oh, wow, this is really cool too. And he has some social media handles at the end of his chapter, so you know how to connect with him and follow him, because he has some good things to share. So here's something that's really cool, and Mike already addressed it. Right now you can see everything about the book, how to get a hold of it and Mike, by going to the Books app, and it's free. Type in Brilliant Biz Book, all one word, capital B's, Brilliant Biz Book. Download that from your app store and you'll be amazed. Now when you get there, you'll see all of our podcasts right there on the app. You'll also get to see what's going on in Mike's world, as well as the rest of our authors. And you have the opportunity to click on something that we call Ask an Expert. You'll see Mike Graber's name there. You click on it, type him a question or whatever it is you'd like to discuss with him, and Mike will reply back to you. I think that's pretty slick.
Yeah, very cool process.
Yeah. And there's other authors, obviously, that you can go ahead and do the same with regarding their topics. So check out our podcast, because we deliver some really cool stuff there. And Mike Raber, I want to thank you for your time and your wisdom sharing today. You rocked it.
Thank you. I always enjoy being here.
Yeah, there's so much goodness to share, isn't there?
Indeed.
All right. And listeners, we appreciate you listening to the Brilliant Breakthroughs podcast, where you learn about how to create more brilliant breakthroughs for your small businesses. We'll be back next week. So until then, shine brightly.